Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about how to ignite or recharge your business development efforts. Our guest today is Elise Holtzman. Elise is a former practicing attorney, a certified executive coach, and the founder of The Lawyer's Edge, where she and her team help law firms grow thriving businesses by helping lawyers become better business developers and leaders. Elise is also the creator of the Lawyers Making Rain program for small law firms, as well as the Lawyer's Edge Ignite, a business development program for women lawyers that is launching in 2023. In addition to coaching, training, and consulting, Elise speaks frequently for legal organizations and writes articles on the subject of business development for publications such as Law.com, Law 360. Elise is also the host of the Lawyer's Edge podcast, where I was a recent guest. Welcome to the show, Elise.
Thanks so much, Guy. I'm delighted to be here.
And I'm delighted to have you here. And thank you for having me on your podcast. So I'm glad that we get to talk again during our podcast.
Absolutely.
So Elise, before we get into the topic, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you go from being a lawyer to a business development coach?
I practiced law for a number of years at two big New York City law firms in the area of commercial real estate transactions. I absolutely loved it. But back then, there was no such thing as a coach. I did not have women mentors. I had wonderful mentors who were men, and they really weren't doing part-time. And so I practiced at a very, you know, at a very high level in terms of hours for many years, and then had a baby. And since my husband and I are both lawyers and we're both in big law, the whole thing became a little bit like a bad movie where, you know, the hours got crazy. We didn't see the baby. It was kind of hard to manage things. I tried what they were rolling out as part-time, which was 40 hours a week for 80% of your salary. And I was excited about it, but it didn't really work simply because I was such a senior associate running so many deals. So ultimately, I wound up feeling that I didn't have many choices or any choices and stepped back from the law. I thought, well, I tried this part-time thing. It obviously doesn't work. And, you know, my joke is I kind of committed career suicide, I guess, back then for the sake of the family. And things went well for a while. I was home with kids for a few years, which I never expected to be. And then decided to figure out what I was going to be when I grew up. I wasn't really ready to go back to a law firm because I had felt kind of burned by that experience and found out about coaching. Did a full year program, an executive coaching training program, and started the Lawyer's Edge and haven't looked back. I absolutely love what I do. And I get to work with lawyers all day, every day. So that's good for me.
That's great. Do you ever miss practicing law?
You know, there have been times when I've missed the idea that I guess I didn't achieve what I originally had set out to achieve or what I thought I wanted to achieve. You know, every now and then when a peer of mine made partner at a big firm or something like that, I would think, gosh, I wish I was doing that. And I liked doing the deals, but I don't really miss the everyday practice of law. And goodness knows I don't miss billing hours. And I think that to the extent that I miss anything, you know, I get to kind of make it up with helping other lawyers be successful in whatever way is meaningful to them.
I love it. That's great. All right. So let's get to the topic at hand, which is business development. From your perspective, why is business development still so important to a lawyer's career success?
Business development success is still tied to so many things that many private practice lawyers desire or want to achieve. We know that in the law firm world, people talk about finders, minders, and grinders, right? The finders being the people who bring in the clients, the minders being the people who take care of the clients over time, and the grinders being the people that grind out the work. And so for whatever reason, the finders still tend to be, as I like to say, more equal than everybody else. And so what happens is it impacts the power that you have in your own career, all the shots in your own career. It helps you retain or exert the power of choice. So when I talk about power, you know, it's not like creepy Machiavellian type of power. It's simply the power to have choice in what you are doing. Many lawyers say that they would like more autonomy. They want to choose the types of matters they work on or the clients that they're working with. They might want to choose the attorneys with whom they're working at the firm. It certainly goes to increased compensation. We know that rainmakers do tend to make more compensation than people who are not bringing in business or are not responsible for retaining client business. For those people who want to leave a law firm and go elsewhere for whatever reason, it gives you the ability to be desirable to another firm. If you are able to take your clients with you to another firm, and as we say in the biz, have a portable book of business, again, that provides you with choices. And so, as I said earlier, what it essentially means, it is essentially boiling down to being able to call the shots in your own career and not feel that somebody else is making the decisions for you.
That makes perfect sense. Do you feel like the importance of being a good business developer has increased or decreased since COVID?
That's a great question. I actually think it's increased in the post-COVID world. COVID really brought business development to the forefront because when everybody all of a sudden went home and got stuck sitting in their, you know, fuzzy slippers and their PJs in their offices or their living rooms or their bedrooms, many people said, I don't know how to do business development. I'm just going to wait until this thing blows over. And what we learned from COVID is that the relationships that we've developed over time with people or that we develop over time with people are the thing that is going to keep clients coming back and that's going to enable us to bring in business going into the future. And because hybrid work arrangements are now going to persist, I think we can all agree that it's not going back to the way it was. It's more important than ever for people to understand how to develop those relationships and how to be able to develop business, even when you're not seeing people on a regular basis in person. And so for the people that have the ability and the willingness to shift the way they do things, to shift their approach to business development and to focus on business development, even in the face of hybrid work, rather than sweeping it under the rug, I think those people are going to be very successful moving forward.
I completely agree. So if it's so important, why do you feel that so many lawyers shy away from business development? Now, what are some of the obstacles that you think get in attorney's way when it comes to being a good business developer?
There are several things that get in people's way. The first one is, I don't know how to develop business, right? Lawyers typically, as a group, don't know how to develop business. And I don't say that with any criticism at all. It's simply an observation. If you think about it, we self-selected into law school. And most lawyers will tell you that they didn't go to law school because they wanted to become salespeople. If they had wanted to become salespeople, they would have gone and become salespeople. And so, you know, we get to law school then, not really thinking about being salespeople, not thinking about how to develop clients, and then law school doesn't bother mentioning it. You know, to the extent they talk about clients and you talk about cases, the clients are just there. The matters are there. The cases are there. The clients exist. They're assumed to be there. And so we don't talk about business development at all. Then you get to a law firm, and law firms, understandably, are not in the business of teaching business development. They're not training and coaching programs for business development. They're in the business of serving their clients. So one huge obstacle is that many lawyers feel that they don't know how to do it. Another reason that people shy away from it is that they become uncomfortable with it. They think to themselves, well, this is all about sales. I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to be, you know, tooting my own horn and telling everybody how great I am and appearing that I'm trying to suck the money out of the pockets of people that I care about. So I'm very, very uncomfortable with this. I'm just not going to do it. I hear things like, you don't understand, Elise, I can't do this because I'm not a natural networker. I can't do this because I did not grow up with money, so I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth or a little black book in my pocket. I'm an introvert, so I can't engage in networking in any meaningful way. It just doesn't work for me. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our heads, what I would call head trash, or what coaches might call gremlins, you know, the voice inside your head that tells you why you can't do something, that gets in people's way. And so everyone has gremlins, not just lawyers. But we definitely listen to those gremlins and come up with 27 reasons why we can't do this. The big one, or a big one, I would say the third one in my little list here, is I'm too busy.
Yep.
You don't understand. Okay. I've got work on my desk, right? I don't have time to be running around glad-handing people and going to cocktail parties and going out to lunch with people. I've got work on my desk, and that's work that I need to be doing. And so what I would say to that is that, look, everybody's got the same 24/7. And while there is no doubt that lawyers are very, very busy, and let's face it, lawyers tend to be rewarded for billing hours. So it's understandable that they would focus on that. But because business development is so important to your career, I think it's important to learn how to manage yourself and manage your own time and prioritize business development. Because if other people can do it, you can do it as well.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. So what are the three pillars of business development? And how can knowing them be helpful to a lawyer?
After doing this kind of work for a while, I came up with the three pillars of business development because I think it gives lawyers a very simple structure on which to hang, if you will, their business development efforts. I think part of the I don't know how and part of the I'm uncomfortable and I'm too busy is that it feels like one big mishmash of, oh my God, I've got to go out there and get clients. And it just feels very overwhelming. And so the three pillars of business development help break things down for people. And so here's what the three pillars of business development are. The first one is growing and nurturing relationships. And those are two different things, growing and nurturing. So nurturing is about developing and holding on to and taking care of the relationships that you already have, the people who are already in your network. And that's really important because many times lawyers graduate from law school, they go to a law firm, they put their nose to the grindstone, and they grind out the hours because that's what they're told to do. They let those relationships that they already have kind of go fallow, if you will. And so those relationships fall by the wayside. The other piece is growing relationships and always meeting new people and adding them to your network. Not all of them, of course, are going to be people who can give you business, but relationships are what drives business in many different ways. So in the work that we do as lawyers, most of the work that will come in for most lawyers is through relationships, whether it's somebody that you know who can hire you directly or somebody that you know who can make a referral to you. So nurturing and growing those relationships is very, very important. And again, not just with the ultimate clients, who you think could be a good fit for you, but for the people who can refer you and people who are part of your community who are going to know who you are and want to be helpful to you because they have a nice relationship with you. The second pillar of business development is becoming a visible expert. And what I say about this all the time is kind of a silly joke, but if an expert falls over in the forest and nobody knows about it, are you really an expert? Right? You may be an expert, but if you're invisible, your expertise isn't serving you well. And so how do you become a visible expert? Do you get out there and just, you know, as I said earlier, toot your own horn and tell everyone how great you are? And the answer is no. And listen, Guy, I mean, obviously you're the expert on this particular issue, is how do you deliver value in the marketplace to other people, right? What can you share online that's going to help people with issues that are coming up for them and the things that keep them up at night? What panels are you going to talk on, or seminars are you going to give, or articles are you going to read, or podcasts are you going to be on, where you're able to give people some information about the things that are bothering or keeping, you know, your clients up at night or prospective clients up at night? And then the third pillar of business development is all about leadership growth and behavior change. And that's a pretty big bucket. But when it comes to business development, what I'm really talking about is going back to things like putting time on the calendar for business development, making it part of your job description rather than saying it's a nice thing to do if you get a few minutes with nothing to do, which rarely happens, or, you know, you can squeeze it in the spaces. So it's things like making time for business development, changing your job description so that instead of saying, I'm a lawyer, you're saying, I'm a lawyer and I'm also in the business of marketing my legal services. When it becomes part of your job description, mentally, it's much more likely that you're going to do it. And another piece under this category is learning how to delegate and build a team around you. I have seen many lawyers who start getting successful when it comes to business development start to falter because they've been so used to doing things themselves that they haven't built a solid team around them. They don't have people to whom to delegate, or they say, I don't trust anybody to delegate to. I have to do everything myself. And so these are the kinds of things that when it comes to business development, you might not normally think of as business development skills, but growth as a leader and being willing to change your behavior so that you can take care of the other two pillars, I think is critically important.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think those are really great pillars. You know, certainly something that lawyers should really work on. What do you think about the way law firms support their lawyers to become better, more consistent, more confident business developers? Do you feel like they're doing enough? And if not, what can law firms do to help their lawyers?
Many law firms that are progressive in terms of their policies, that are focused on things like talent retention and culture development, and recognize the power of education and support in whatever way they do it, are focusing on helping their lawyers become business developers and also leaders, right? They're not just saying, come in, do the work, sit in your office and grind it out. Here's some money, you know, here's your salary. Thanks for doing the work. They're saying, how can we create a culture here that supports business development? How can we grow you as a business developer and leader? And so there are several different ways of doing that. One is for firm leadership to make a decision that they are going to create and support a business development culture. For those firms that don't think they have a business development culture, I would encourage them to think again, because when you don't intentionally create a culture, one will spring up in its place. So you may be in a firm where, as in many firms, there are only a few people who are bringing in the business and everybody else is supporting them in taking care of the client. You may be in a place where senior partners who have business don't want to give up any origination credit, no matter how helpful a more junior person is, like a junior partner, in taking care of the client or ensuring that new matters come in from an existing client. So I think that, first of all, educating your lawyers about what business development is and what it isn't, right? How it doesn't have to be distasteful, how there are business development principles that stand the test of time, but for any individual lawyer, you can do it in a way that matches your personality and your practice area and your likes and dislikes, and teaching them from the very beginning. You know, many lawyers, many law firms will say things like, well, we don't want our junior associates to learn about business development. They need to learn how to become good lawyers. And of course, the latter is true. They need to be trained. They need to learn how to handle clients. They need to learn how to be excellent practitioners. And at the same time, there's nothing wrong with letting junior associates know that, hey, we want to help you nurture your existing network. You know, go to these events, get involved in organizations, take your friends out to lunch, learn about what they do. Maintain those relationships so you don't wind up being a senior associate or a junior partner who's never even pursued this. And so if you talk to people from the very beginning about what the expectations are, and that no, as a junior associate, we're not expecting you to run out the first day and get a couple $100,000 client. And at the same time, we want to retain you for the long term. And so we're going to train you and teach you and support you as you grow, you know, into the best version of yourself as a lawyer, then I think you're much more likely to get people who are engaged in business development on a regular basis rather than feeling that they're forced into it or they have to do it.
Yeah, I think that's, you're spot on with that. So for those lawyers that haven't really started, you know, developing their business, you know, they've been more grinders, if you will, or maybe lawyers that already started to doing it, but are not having great success. What do you suggest they try to do?
Well, let's go back to the three pillars of business development for a minute. So if you're just starting out, I think the best place to start is in pillar one, which is about nurturing and growing relationships. And the reason I say that is because the three pillars, I don't believe, are created equal. I think that pillar number one for most people is the most important. As I said earlier, most lawyers that are listening to this or legal marketers who are listening to this, you know, you're probably B2B businesses for the most part. Your firms are not getting business because they saw you on a billboard or a bus bench. And so relationships are critical. So if you're just starting out, go for the low-hanging fruit first. Look at your network, look at your contact list, look at who you're connected with on LinkedIn, and pick three or four people that you say, you know, I haven't talked to so-and-so for a while. I'd really love to connect with her and see how she's doing. And don't treat it like a business development conversation. Just treat it like a human conversation. You're just reconnecting with people, seeing how they're doing, getting used to the idea of having these conversations, being more interested than interesting, you know, not selling yourself, nothing like that. But just start with your existing network, and then you can grow from there. And that's fun, right? Because people love to hear from one another. You know, if someone called me and said, hey, I haven't talked to you in a couple of years, but I've been thinking about you. I know it was a crazy few years. I'd love to connect. I would say, wow, this is great, and be very open to that conversation. So start with the easy stuff. Start with the low-hanging fruit. Start with the network you already have. For folks who are already engaged in business development activities, but they feel like they're not having the success that they want to have, what I would say is that it makes sense to get a little more focused. One of the reasons that some people are not successful with business development as much as they'd like to be is that they're unfocused. And so they're engaging in what you and I might call scattershot marketing. They're taking someone out to lunch over here, or they're going to an event over there, or they're occasionally taking someone out to lunch and they're wondering why nothing is happening. So I would consider also going into the three pillars of business development and picking one of them and focusing in, understanding, you know, who your target clients are, who your referral sources are, seeing how you can deliver value to them and raise your profile with those people. Not try to be everything to everyone, but to get really, really focused and pick one area in which to go narrow and deep rather than trying to be all over the place. And typically that sort of focus and consistency and intentionality, because this stuff doesn't happen overnight, will start moving the needle in the right direction.
Love it. All right. Well, Elise, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but that was really, really great advice. And I'm sure our audience very much appreciates it and hopefully will take you up on it. For our audience, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and you can also listen to some of our great past episodes. Elise, thank you so much for your time again. It's been great to have you, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show sometime in the future.
Thanks so much, Guy. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it, and I hope to do just that.
Excellent. And for our listeners, we will include a link to Elise's website, her LinkedIn profile, so that if anyone wants to get in touch with Elise and use her great coaching services. You're able to do that. Thank you very much to our audience. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next time.